In 1998, Zoe Lewis included a song tribute to Harvey Milk on her album called Sheep. She's originally from England and now lives in Provincetown. The song is just called Harvey.
Dear old Mrs. So-and-so, thought I'd call and let you know your daughter is a big homo. And she's lying next to me. She came here of her own volition, no doubt wasting her tuition. Still it's true, and now you're wishing she weren't here with me. But she's been acting out this way since long before that fateful day. I brought her home so she could stay lying next to me. No matter how you sulk and fret, it's only girls that make her wet. And since that's true, well, you can bet she's lying next to me. Oh, dear old Mr. So-and-so, I thought I'd call and let you know your daughter is a big homo. She's lying next to me. She loves you still and always will, but you can't fix her with a pill or try to take away the thrill of lying next to me. She wants your love and your respect, but if you push, she'll push right back. 'Cause she's got friends and you've got Jack. You don't let her be. Oh, for the apple of your eye, there must be something you can try. 'Cause I can't stand to see her cry lying next to me. Oh, dear old Mrs. So-and-so, just call her up and let her know she can be a big homo and you'll still love her so.
Zoe Lewis and Harvey, and after that you heard a very gay song by Mara Levi. It was called The Homo Song and is from 2005 and so far is only available at her website, but she really needs to release that one. And here's one more very outspoken song by a duo known as The Other Side. That's also the title of their 1994 CD. Individually, they are Chris Weifert and Karen Anderson, and their song is called Here to Stay.
Trouble in there. Take your Bible, your little black book, and dump it someplace useful, like on your head. Go back to your used car lot, your football field. Forget out of my face.
We are here to stay. That's
from folk pop to punk. Are you ready? This next group is from Australia and is called The Mavises. From their 1996 album, Venus Returning, is the very catchy song, Do You Have a Brother? Up next is a straight artist with a very gay sensibility. I've seen him several times and never miss him when he's in town. His name is Eric Swartz, and I interviewed him a while back. I've been saving those quotes for just this opportunity. He recorded an album in 1999 called That's How It's Gonna Be, and it contained a really neat song called Hattie and Maddie, and I got him to tell me about how he came to write it.
Hattie and Maddie, there were two old ladies living in my building in Greenwich Village. And I have a very rich fantasy life. So I wrote the song about them, about them being lesbians. And I combined it with the life of an old woman that was living on the sixth floor across from me. And her house was very exactly kept. And there was a big picture of Jesus Christ above her bed. And I wrote the song that they were lesbians and living this life. And I invented a nice past life for them. I later found out that they were sisters. And these ladies are the coolest. These are old world Italian ladies, which is the neighborhood I was living in. So I told them that I'd written a song about them. They weren't terribly thrilled.
Hattie and Maddie live downstairs from me. The same apartment since 1943. They've got embroidered pictures on the walls with quotes that no one said, and an autographed picture of Jesus Christ above their double bed. Well, they're two old ladies, that can't be denied. But their matching aprons hide a wilder side, and they will tell tell you about Perry. Over countless cups of tea, maybe you will get the clue. But at first it eluded me that they're the founding mothers of the revolution, of mating with a blatant disregard for evolution, a lesbian's extraordinaire. Years before they cut their hair, four stories over, all the pushing and the shoving. Patty and Maddie got some brownies in the oven, a sitting and a knitting and loving their whole life through. Oh yeah. Now Hattie and Maddie met through Gertrude Stein, partying in Paris high on hash and wine. And Hattie said, I'm fond of La Joconde and her strange and sexy style. So Maddie said, with eyes of red, I know what made her smile. And now Hattie and Maddie bake for everyone, and their brownies make our parties so much fun. 'Cause it's a special recipe that they got from Alice B. And so I should have known when I heard the groans, but it took me years to see that they're the founding mothers of the revolution, of mating with a blatant disregard for evolution, a lesbian's extraordinaire. Years before they cut their hair, four stories over, all the pushing and the shoving. Hattie and Maddie got some brownies in the oven, a sitting and a knitting and loving their whole life through.
Loving their whole life through.
That's right.
Loving.
Come on now, give it to me, Hattie. Come on now, Gertrude. Yes, they're the founding mothers of the revolution, of mating with a blatant disregard for evolution, lesbians extraordinaire. Years before they cut their hair, stories over, all the pushing and the shoving. Hattie and Maddie got some brownies in the oven, a sitting and a knitting and loving their whole life through. That's what I said. Yes, they're the founding mothers of the revolution, of mammary massaging and gentle gamma hooshing, lesbians extraordinaire. Years before they cut their hair, four stories over, all the pushing and the shoving. Hattie and Maddie got some brownies in the oven, a sitting and a knitting and loving their whole life through. 'Cause that's what they do, 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 do. A sitting and a knitting and loving their whole life through. Why don't you bake me a brownie and I'll sing you a song.
And his next album in 2000 was called Pleading the First, Songs My Mother Hates. It contains some very funny songs, way not ready for radio. But I can play his song called Charlie Something, and he'll also tell us about that one.
It all started out with Charlie Brown being bald when he was 5 years old. No one ever explained why he was bald. And in the Greenwich Village, I just kept noticing that there were a lot of gay men who seemed to be prematurely balding. And I somehow put two and two together, and so I imagine maybe Charlie Brown was gay, and it would explain a lot of his identity crisis and the abuse that he was taking from people in his neighborhood at a young age. And then I just decided to go around and look at the characteristics of each of the people. Patty and Marcy were clearly, you know, I can't imagine that Charles Schulz didn't have something in mind when she was kept being called Sir. Then I just tried to mess with all the characters. It worked really well, and people liked the song.
To my dearest little sister, Sally Brown, it's Charlie here. A lot of things have happened since you skipped town. For one, I'm queer. For about a year. I know, of course, you might be less than psyched about the path I took, but I had to face the fact that I kinda liked how Linus looked before he booked. Cause Patty came out and left me shocked and confused. She shacked up with Marcy, who was clearly abused. And I picked up a needle that had just been used before. Now Lucy's playing hockey, her team just won the Stanley Cup. Schroeder dresses just like Beethoven did and ties her up. And she barks like a pup. And the hunt is on for Linus, but as you know, he's hard to catch. You see, he found that lots of interesting things could grow in the pumpkin patch. But the feds are no match. Cause he and the red-haired girl split the scene. The psilocybin sultan and the cannabis queen. And Franklin shot two back and now he ain't nowhere to be seen. Wah 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 wah. Break it down. Woodstock got eaten by the cat who lives next door. Snoopy got neutered and now he ain't Joe Cool no more. And he's still kinda sore. And Pigpen OD'd was just a matter of time. He couldn't keep a job on account of the grime. And he couldn't face a future of small town crime no more. So write us all a letter and tell us how the city is. Frida said she saw you, so tell me, how's the porno biz? My little sis, the porno biz, my little sis.
Thank you. Thank you. Sorry.
Again, you heard Hattie and Maddie and Charlie Something by Eric Swartz. I'm calling this next set my Gertrude Stein set, and it opens with a song from 1995 dedicated to her. It's by a lesbian artist named Jess Hawk Oakenstar from her album Leave a Little Light Behind. It's called Dear Gertrude Stein.
Dear Gertrude Stein, I'm so glad to have discovered you in a world that gives no life that I chose, and so did you. Dear Gertrude Stein, I just wanna thank you for going so far out, going so far out. Thank you.
Okay, how many of you have heard the voice of Gertrude Stein? Raise your hands. That's what I thought. She's very famous for one of her quotes, "A rose is a rose is a rose." Well, you'll notice right away the repetitive styling in this reading by her from 1934. Just a snippet from a piece called Valentine for Sherwood Anderson.
Very fine is my Valentine, very fine and very mine. Very mine is my Valentine, very mine and very fine. Very fine is my Valentine and mine. Very fine, very mine, and mine is my Valentine. In which way are stars brighter than they are? When we have come to this decision, we mention many thousands of buds, and when I close my eyes, I see them. If you hear her snore, it is not before you love her. You love her so that to be her beau is very lovely. She is sweetly there, and her curly hair is very lovely. She is sweetly here, and I am very near, and that is very lovely. She is my tender sweet, and her little feet are stretched out well, which is a treat, and very lovely. Her little tender nose is between her little eyes, which close, and are very lovely. She is very lovely, and mine, which is very lovely. On her way. If you can see why she feels that she kneels, if you can see why he knows that he shows what he bestows, if you can see why they share what they share, need we question that there is no doubt that by this time, if they had intended to come, they would have sent some notice of such intention. She and they, and indeed the decision itself, is not early dissatisfaction.
Besides her writings, she was famous for entertaining in her salon in Paris artists and writers such as Picasso, Ernest Hemingway, and Thornton Wilder. Her book, The Autobiography of Alice B. Toklas, was a huge success, and of course was not an autobiography at all. Alice B. Toklas did have her own writing success with her famous cookbook. I have to share with you a reading by Toklas, also from around 1934, describing her first meeting with Gertrude Stein.
I met her through her brother and sister-in-law, who were already in Paris when we arrived there in 1907. And we went to see them that same afternoon that we arrived, because they were intimate friends of the friend with whom I had come over. And she said, I made an appointment with them, so we'll go over for a little while. I had found, through a friend, an extremely nice hotel, which is still in existence in Paris, called the Magellan. And the Magellan is just as it was, old-fashioned, traditional, luxurious, beautiful hotel. And so we went over there. And there, when we got there, there was Gertrude Stein. And I knew it was she from photographs I'd seen. And at once I knew her voice as being something apart. She had a deep, rich contralto voice that was natural to her. And I thought it came from the red coral brooch she was wearing. It was so wonderful, such a beautiful voice. And she had an exceptional, rare laugh. It was very hearty, fairly loud, but oh, it was music. She didn't play it. It just was itself.
In case you're curious, Gertrude Stein died in 1946, and Alice B. Toklas died in 1967. Finally, I've got one more piece on Gertrude Stein. In 1980, actress Pat Bond starred in the much-acclaimed production Gertrude Stein, Gertrude Stein, Gertrude Stein. The album set recorded from this show itself won a Grammy Award. From it is a very short clip of Pat Bond as Gertrude Stein.
It is, it always is, and it always most certainly is an inconvenience being evicted. I know, and we were. Alice did not like it. Alice Toklas, and she said so. She said, who are you to be telling us that our home today is to be someone else's home tomorrow? And he said, I am the landlord, madam, that is who I am. And he was, and he is, and we are evicted. And that is, they say, is that. And the landlord's son moves in tomorrow. Well, anyway. Before I came to be living here, I was going to be not being living there. There is in America, of course, naturally it is. And I wanted to be going away. Not to be coming back until I was a lion. A real lion. Sometimes only in exile can one truly represent one's country. That was true of Dante, and it is true of me. Which reminds me of eviction and packing. I do not want to be reminded of packing. I hate packing. So I'll be reminded of something else. Immediately, Picasso comes to mind. But before I am reminded of Picasso, I must be reminded of Alice Toklas, who is at the present moment sound asleep in her room. Alice asked me to wake her in 3 hours, if it stops raining, she said. Well, it has now been 6 hours, and it is still raining. I do not know what to do. The most difficult part about being a genius is you have to sit around all the time doing absolutely nothing. You just do. Alice. But she will want to be packing things. Oh, dear. And that reminds me of moving. And that reminds me of eviction and landlords and expired leases. Oh, dear.
One of Australia's treasures is queer playwright, songwriter, and performer Alex Harding, who for over 25 years has been contributing his own brand of gay musicals to the culture. A compilation CD called Just One More and Then I'll Go was released in 1996, covering his career, and from it I've chosen two tracks, the wistful Perfect Stranger from his 1991 show Beauty and the Beat, and from 1978 from a show called Double Exposure is the bittersweet song There's Nothing Like a Fairy to Make Sure the Party's Gay.
I'd like a tall man or a short man, a soft man or a taut man. I'd like him black as night or maybe fair. He's got to feel, he's got to care. I'd like to touch you in the darkness, perfect stranger. Feel my heart cry tenderly that I love you, perfect stranger. That I love you touching me. I'd like a young man or an old man, a shy man or a bold man. I'd like him innocent or very wise, with lots of laughter in his eyes. I'd like to touch you in the darkness, perfect stranger. Feel my heart cry tenderly that I love you, perfect stranger. That I love you touching me. I'd like a gentle man or a rough man, an elegant or a tough man. He is mad about the way I smell. Completely safe and hot as hell. I'd like to touch you in the morning, perfect stranger. And you'll say, right on cue, that I'm your perfect, perfect stranger. And that you love me touching you. That I'm your perfect, perfect stranger. And that you love me touching you. Think of my anticipation when I got the invitation asking me to dine with Bob and Sue. Even though they're straight and narrow, even though they live in Harrow, I feel very flattered, it is true. Why should I feel so excited? I know why I was invited. We are having a party, and you'll come, we hope. We are baking a batch of vol-au-vents stuffed with dope. But best of all, we're also having Alex Harding. There's nothing like a fairy to make sure the party's gay. He'll do his impersonations of old movie stars. He'll tell his sordid stories of the Boston bars. It's just as if you're listening to a man from Mars. There's nothing like a fairy to provide the cabaret. He's such a pepper-upper, but so alone, poor thing. And if he wants his supper, then he's gonna have to sing. So, RSVP by giving one of us a buzz. For now, though, I tell you, there's one hitch because poor Alex won't be coming if my mother does. There's nothing like a fairy to make sure the party's gay. See you at 7:30 when you get here, knock. If someone strange is at the door, don't get a shock. It's probably Alex camping in the au pair's frock. There's nothing like a fairy to make sure the party's merry. There's nothing like a fairy to make sure the party's gay. If you were to ask him, he might imitate Mae West, his Katharine Hepburn's killing. But the one that's best is his impersonation of the perfect guest. There's nothing like a fairy to make sure the party's gay. Forget gay liberation. He thinks the subject's grim. He keeps his concentration on things that count to him. Whenever he comes, I serve baked beans and save the steak. He watches his weight, so there's no need to bake a cake. Whatever you can dish out, he'll be glad to take. There's nothing like a fairy to make sure the party's merry. There's nothing like a fairy to make sure the party's gay. There's nothing like a fairy to make the party merry. There's nothing like a fairy to make sure the party's gay.
Again, that was Alex Harding. One of the neat things about doing a show like this is that sometimes I play a song by an obscure artist and then I hear from the artist. That happened again after my June show aired when I played a couple songs by Philadelphia singer-songwriter Hank Barron. He sent me two more. One is a vintage song of his that he wrote about Anita Bryant called Standing Before the Judge, and it will be followed by a new song by him.
It's a song about Anita Bryant I wrote. It's called Standing Before the Judge. She reaches the runway and whispers amen, puts on her smile and steps in the light. With God up above and her nation before her, she's worked and she's fought for her chance here tonight. She's young and she's pretty, her voice rings out clear. She's warm and engaging, but pure and sincere. And she'll answer your questions like you want to hear. Standing before the judge, standing before the judge. Beneath every banner we raise up a beauty, a fair native flower to set off the scene. She comforts the faithful, she calls them to duty. She's mother, she's mistress, she's slave and she's queen. She fixes her hair, she smooths out her dress, rallies her charms and tries to impress, hoping that maybe she'll please them the best. Standing before the judge, standing before the judge. Now how can you blame her? Just look what it gets her. The stamp of approval, the chance for a name. But she must remember we raise up our idols until we grow tired and laugh at the same. She freshens her lipstick, she stands for a cause. She's the positive proof that admits to no flaws. But she'll soon find a change in the unwritten laws. Standing before the judge, standing before the judge.
You never get much closer than a glance from across the room. You freeze and fade or you bare your fangs when I get next to you. Go on and make your faces, but there's one thing you can't hide. That spark of fascination trapped down in your eyes. You want me, you want me. So cold and nasty, but it's really something else. Admit it to yourself. Admit it to yourself.
Admit it to yourself.
Admit it to yourself.
Admit it to yourself.
Admit it to yourself.
Admit it to yourself.
Admit it to yourself.
Admit it to yourself.
You tell me that I'm crazy, that it's all just in my mind. Or would you be surprised to know you're not the first one of your kind? Simmer in your silence, now and then you blow sky high. To me, you're the one confused, and I know the reason why. You want me, you want me. So cold and nasty, but really something else. You want me, oh baby, how you want me. Why don't you admit it to yourself?
Admit
it to yourself. Find that happy circumstance. Far away from your rowdy friends, you'd be free to take a chance. It isn't very likely, and aren't you really? What you don't experience doesn't have to be believed. You want me, you want me. So cold and nasty, but it's really something else.
Hank Barron singing Standing Before the Judge and You Want Me, and I especially thank him for sending me those to share with you. Okay, here's one more comedy song by Lisa Koch and Peggy Platt, going by the name Dos Fallopia. In 1992, they recorded a very funny album called My Breasts Are Out of Control, and from it, here is one called A Camp Song.
We hope this next song will make you feel all warm and nostalgic. It's a camp song. Well, it used to be a camp song, but Lisa's totally rewritten it, so now it's a camp song. Get it? Camp. Okay, I'll just stop.
We wear Birkenstocks.
Lesbian.
We drive pickup trucks.
Lesbian.
We've all got an aunt who's a
lesbian. Oh yes, lesbian.
Brings back a flood of memories, doesn't it?
Oh yeah. We don't eat red meat except some of the time.
Lesbian.
We like pocket knives.
Lesbian.
We don't tip real well. Ooh,
lesbian. Oh, yes. Lesbian.
Okay, now here's a special verse for all the non-lesbians out there.
That's me.
That's right. Even you men. Here we go. We wish we could be lesbians.
We wish we could be lesbians.
We join a softball team.
We join a softball team. Lesbians.
But we're not tough enough.
But we're not tough enough to be lesbians.
Bench warmer.
Bench warmer. Lesbian.
That's right. Let's modulate. We throw solstice parties, everybody.
We throw solstice parties. Lesbian.
We use power tools.
We use power tools. Lesbian.
We own dogs that are part wolf.
We own dogs that are part wolf. Lesbian. Oh, yeah. Lesbian.
What if there's a guy who isn't living a lie? He just likes rainbows. He's a hetero who likes rainbows and listens to Broadway shows. When I'm driving in my car and I see a rainbow sticker in the windshield, I pull up along the side to share a moment of pride, only to find that he plays on the other team's field. He's a hetero who likes rainbows. He just likes rainbows. He is not one of the 10% who is half or fully bent. He just likes rainbows. Yes, he's really straight. No, the line doesn't deviate. He just likes rainbows. He's a hetero who likes rainbows. He just likes those rainbows. It must really stink not to realize what others think when you just like rainbows if you're a regular guy. Maybe just a little bit shy and you just like rainbows. You're a hetero who likes rainbows.
I followed Das Fallopia with another odd duo who call themselves Seaman and Queerfunkel. Their song, Heteros Who Like Rainbows, is from last year. What? I've not played any dance music yet? I can fix that, of course, with my own bent toward obscure releases. From 1998 is German artist Manuel Sanchez and his very infectious updating of a familiar song. But his rendition was called Oh Happy Gay.
Oh Happy Gay. Yeah. Come on. Come on, move your body. Oh, happy gay. Let's sing together. Oh, happy gay.
Oh, happy gay.
Oh, happy gay.
Oh, happy gay.
Well, let's have a party.
Have a party.
Just move your body.
Move your body.
And here's one more very out-of-the-closet dance song, and it's brand new. The album is being released this week. The artist is Thomas Bickham, and he lives in Denmark, but he performs under the name Tomboy. On his site, he says he tried to work as many gay cliches into the song as possible, wanting to use humor to reach people. And that's especially true of the video, Camp for Days. You'll definitely want to check that out. Here's Tomboy in his new song, Okay to Be Gay. Down to the last song, but before I get to it, I want to thank you all for tuning into the show. I always enjoy doing one of these shows, as I get to share so many songs I've been meaning to play. And my internet listeners get to hear a much expanded version, this time almost 3 hours, which includes many more songs, including some that, due to lyrical content, are just not ready for regular radio. If you have questions or comments about any of the music I featured, please write me at qmheritage@aol.com. And please check out my website, logically enough, at www.queermusicheritage.com, where you can see photos of the artists and recordings I've played tonight. This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Voices on KPFT Houston, and I'll be back on the fourth Monday of next month with another installment of Queer Music Heritage. I'm closing the show with the same artist who opened it, Jeff Krasner. Again, from his 1995 album, Strong for You, here's one that will grab you. It's called The Powers That Be.
Fair, but I make it up, I swear.